Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Game Pass Grab Bag, your weekly podcast reviewing games in the Game Pass collection, bringing you three unique perspectives of varying skill range. I am the nuclear survivor of this episode, Andrew. With me, the one you never have space in your bunker for, so he has to stay outside, our returning guest, Aaron.
Hey.
And my ghoul.
I was going to be Andy for me. Hey, guys.
Liz.
That's very nice.
Well, I thought it's kind of like saying my gal, my ghoul.
I thought you were going to say Mama Murphy, but
that could have worked
I'll
too.
I'll take ghoul.
But is she actually a mama? It's never really confirmed. They just called her because she's an old woman.
Wouldn't it be Grandma Murphy if she was old?
Isn't that what they called her sometimes too?
I don't know. You finished the game.
This week is a listener request from multiple people in our Discord because we were talking about the Fallout TV show and they're like, hey, you guys should do a Fallout episode. So thank you to our Discord for chiming in that we should cover Fallout 4 by Bethesda Studios. Liz, what Bethesda games have we played?
I was going to look it up because I knew you were going to ask me.
I mean, I can name one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Yeah, you guys have done Starfield.
Yep.
Was it also the one with Sean Ashmore, the quick time?
No. Sean Ashmore. Are you talking about Man of Medan? No, Man of Medan is not from Bethesda.
I can't remember. Did you guys do Doom?
We did do Doom, but that's it. It's Bethesda's the publisher. Yeah, but we did Skyrim. Skyrim's the other one that's a Bethesda RPG.
Just a wild guess.
But yes, so this is Fallout 4 from Bethesda Studios. Fallout 4 is a post-apocalyptic nuclear survival game where you are playing a survivor of Vault 111 who just at the beginning of the game just narrowly escapes the bombs being dropped and you are cryo-frozen for over 220 years. And you wake up to find out that your son was kidnapped. And so you are waking up from your cryo-freeze and you are trying to find whatever happened to your son as you explore the Boston area wasteland. But going around, Aaron, why don't you start this off? Was this game or pass for you?
Well, I think in every episode that you guys have had me on, did I give Battlefield a definite game?
I think so.
I didn't remember that. I just feel like that was not something I would give out. But this is a definite game.
Wait, what were we going to say? In every episode, you gave what, a game?
Game. Or
no, because you didn't.
No. Do you not? I know I didn't.
I was going to say, do you not remember Garden Story?
No. I don't recall if I ever gave a definite game. That's what I didn't recall. I didn't recall if I ever did that. But this one would have to fall under a definite game. And I will tell you, admittedly, I think with maybe the first 20-ish, 30 minutes of the game, I hated it. And I was afraid that I was going to be way out on this. But I kind of stuck with it. I went over the hump here. And again, on previous episodes, what do I play? I play lots of Battlefield, which will directly tie into my small gripes with this game. But all in all, I am not very far into this game. I think I'm sitting somewhere around like 13 or 14 hours, maybe. So I'm not super far into this game because I don't even know. I always hear people dropping like 500 hours on this game.
Yeah.
But I will definitely still keep playing this thing because I'm kind of hooked right now. So to me, I understand why some people have this as their favorite game of all time. Even just in the first 14, 15 hours, whatever I'm at right now, I could totally see why people feel that way. So for me, definite game.
Well, obviously we just covered it a little bit with Liz of playing Bethesda RPGs. Have you played any other Bethesda RPGs, Aaron?
Yes. And again, that will go into some of my discussion here, but I have played Starfield and did not like it.
Yeah.
I had a hard time sticking with that game. And again, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but you can feel, my goodness, can you feel the DNA between those two games?
Yeah.
And how old? Did this come out in the 360 era or did this come out in the Xbox One era?
This came on Xbox One.
For some reason, I remember this being a 360 game.
Fallout 3 was.
It feels like a 360 game. And when you're thinking about Starfield, you're like, okay, I see why people kind of want to get out of this engine because you can feel those limitations there.
Yeah.
It probably felt fine in the Xbox One era, but doesn't feel fine anymore. But that's it. That's the, and I own Skyrim, so I've played Skyrim, but I mean, it's been well over a decade since I've played that.
Okay. All right, Liz, game or pass?
It's a game for me. I felt bad. This is like the worst week to play this style of game. I love this style of game, by the way.
Lots of loot.
There was one night I went to bed at 8:30. My gaming time is after Piper goes to bed. So I really struggled just staying awake. But I really, like I said, I love the style of game. I knew I was going to enjoy it. There are some things that I get so distracted with the side missions and games like this that I feel like I did not touch like near enough of the actual.
No, it wasn't even side missions. It's just every building. You're like, ooh, loot. Let me go
yes,
in there.
That too. But I also found myself really wanting to base build in this game. Like I felt like they kind of like hinted at it with the sanctuary, but then I was kind of like, but what's the purpose of me continuing on with that? So I also haven't played enough. Maybe it's like a big thing later on, but yeah, I really liked it.
For me, I'm gonna go with Aaron. I'm gonna say this is a definite game. So out of all the Bethesda RPGs, this is my favorite series. Even with Starfield, I love sci-fi, but even then, like I did really enjoy Starfield, but it just didn't quite hit as well as this does. And yeah, I love the Fallout series. I've played all of them. My favorite one is New Vegas, which I was tempted to do that one instead of Fallout 4, but our Discord's like, Fallout 4 is probably the most accessible. You should just do that. It's like, all right, do it for you guys. But yeah, it's a ton of fun. If you haven't delved into any of the Fallout series, I would agree. I think Fallout 4 I'd probably still say it is the most accessible. It is weird. This game does not have much of a tutorial. The tutorial is literally quick text boxes. And if you kind of blink, you miss it. So you're kind of learning things. Like Liz, for the longest time, was not using the VAT system. She kept forgetting that it existed.
You brought that up. But yeah, they mentioned it like one time. Yeah. And then I thought it was because when they mentioned it, you were in the big suit. And so I actually played a lot of the game outside of the suit. I didn't like the suit. And so I thought that I just thought it was a suit thing.
Yeah, this is going to be a weird episode where I feel like you're going to be dealing with two newbies on this episode, Andrew, because obviously you've played way more of this series than I have. I vaguely remember New Vegas. I know that a lot of people liking New Vegas is the cool thing to do. And so everybody seems to like that one. But I barely use the VAT system because it sucks. Like I don't get why. Like I always end up like shooting somebody three times and it doesn't kill them, so I just have to keep shooting them anyway. So
yeah,
I was okay with there being very limited tutorial, although there's a lot. Like there's a lot of layers to this.
There is.
Speaking of mech suit, Liz, since you brought it up. Remember how I was like, man, I almost like gave up on this game pretty quickly? That was specifically the moment I almost quit the game. And here's why. I didn't know how to get to the mech suit. But man, there's the game's old, so it does a bunch of weird old things. But I saw my mission was to exit out the front door. So I go out the front door without a mech suit. And I'm shooting everybody out there. And then the big guy comes out.
The Deathclaw.
The Deathclaw. And I realize if I hide in the building, he can't get me. But I'm completely out of ammo. I've literally wasted all of my ammo. And I'm getting so pissed. I keep dying. I almost gave up on the game. I was like, how the heck do people like this game? And I realized I just had to go out the wrong door and get the suit.
But yeah, I see where you're coming from, Aaron, because this game is old. It literally is usually just a dot as to where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it doesn't even show you like on your map, like your HUD, only the compass that you have, and that's it. So,
because all it's telling you is your mission is outside. That's all it's telling you.
No, they did tell you on the roof there's power armor.
All right.
But if you blink, you miss it.
I kind of missed that. I thought what he was saying was something crashed outside on a roof. I didn't know he was referencing the roof we were at.
Yeah.
And obviously, I didn't notice there was another door sitting over there. So I actually went back up to them. That's the other thing that pisses me off. As I went back up to them when I got the power core, I talked to them and they're just like, oh, hey, dude, don't you have something you need to be doing? And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I see the little dot at the front door downstairs. And I was like, oh, okay. I got to go out the front door and go find this whirly bird. And I'm out there, and I died so many freaking times. I actually completed it one time. Killed the Deathclaw, killed everybody with barely any ammo.
Yeah, how'd you do that? There's like physically no ammo there.
I did it. You will not believe this. I then went into the church next door, like Liz. I was like, ooh, loot. I go all the way to the top and fell and died, and it didn't save. And I like screamed. I was like, please tell me that saved. Did I forget to save? That's another kind of problem that I have with this game. And it didn't. And I was like, I quit. Like, this is the stupidest game ever. Why do people like Fallout 4? This is stupid. This is idiotic. And I was almost done with it. Almost done with it. And then I Googled. Fortunately, I Googled. And everyone was like, you have to go at this store. I was like, ah, dang it. And then, of course, like, you know, I completed it right away.
That's wild.
I do not like repeating things like
bombs. Yeah, Liz would have been done.
And so I would have been done. But I also want to say, too, like, I felt like I had a couple instances where my game crashed and it didn't save my progress. And sometimes it did and sometimes it didn't. And the second a game doesn't save my progress, I'm done for the night. I'm like, I'll deal with it tomorrow. I'm too frustrated. And then with the sanctuary, Mama Murphy asked me to make her a chair. And I'm like, where do I put it? And the map's horrible. I mean, it's nice that you can zoom in the cities and see like, oh, I need to go up and over one more street, whatever. But she was going to different houses and like working on them. And I'm like,
I plopped it in the middle of the street. I was like, if she wants to sit a chair, she's sitting outside.
Well, it didn't work for me. Like, I made her a chair and I put it in the building that she was in and it didn't work. And I put it in the one where your workbench it didn't work.
Did you make the specific chair? That's probably your issue. You're probably making generic chairs. It's a quest category and it says Mama Murphy's chair.
Oh, she said just like a nice chair. So I
Yeah, Mama Murphy's chair.
I picked like the hardest one to make and I was like, this must be it. So it's my fault. But still, I feel like it would have been nice to know where to put it. So it didn't tell you, right?
You can put it anywhere. Like I said, I put mine in the middle of the street.
Yeah. I learned that one real quickly. When I had to make the beds, I just put beds literally in one house. Every bed in the house.
Yep.
Unlike Liz kind of pointed to, she likes the base building aspect of this. I literally couldn't care less about the base building. Like, I was like, if I never have to build another thing in here, I will be completely fine. I do not want to do that anymore.
Then why collect everything, though? Like, there's so much stuff to collect. I understand, like, you do, like, the mods and stuff, but I feel like I wasn't finding the stuff I needed for my gun mods and my armor mods, and so I was just finding stuff for the base building. So I thought that was kind of frustrating. Like, why have that much crap out there for me to collect and then not really have a base building?
I think literally to be a time sink.
Did sing my time, I tell you.
There you go.
It really did.
And you enjoyed it.
I did.
But we never got into the story aspects of this game. As I said, with Fallout 4, you were first playing a couple in a nice, lovely suburban neighborhood in the outskirts of Boston. You sign up for the Vault, which the Vault are these various vaults that are scattered all across the United States, owned by Vault Tech. And they are in preparation for a possible nuclear war. And then sure enough, nuclear war happens. Bombs start dropping. You and your family rush to the vault just to be cryo-frozen. But after so many years, which you don't know at first, you wake up to see that your son's getting kidnapped and your significant other is shot in the face. So you're put back to sleep. And after so many more years, you wake up and you're trying to find out what happened to your son. And so you're exploring the wasteland trying to figure out where he is. But what you guys think of the story of Fallout 4?
Where's the Boston accent? I feel like that would have made it so much.
Yeah, there's none. Well,
seeing people in like 1950s garb and like just talking with a Boston accent. But, come on.
But this is also 220 years, so I feel like in a nuclear wasteland, I guess accents would probably disappear.
No, but like at the beginning when they're in their community or whatever.
It's a missed opportunity that your robot butler Codsworth didn't have one.
Yeah, I think that would have made the story a thousand times better. I think when it comes to the story, one thing that was slightly disappointing is that I didn't really love a character. You know, usually there's, and like I said, because I haven't gotten like the, what are they, companions or whatever that you have. So maybe like I would love one of those. Like I said, I didn't really get as far as I would have liked. But so far, I haven't found someone that I'm really rooting for. So I don't know, but I think that I will eventually get there. I feel like I just touched the surface of this game.
You did.
Yeah. So for me, it just like, that's why I was having a little trouble getting into the story. But I also like too, that I was like talking to some person and because you picked the dialogue and it was like, oh, where'd you come from? And I said, Volt 111. He's like, I can't believe you admitted that. And he like respected that I was being honest and stuff. So I like the choices too when you're talking to people. But I don't know. Is there like consequences?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of consequences.
For the store, like, I'm going to mirror a lot of what Liz has already kind of pointed to at the beginning. I'm just doing random missions. And this is going to be, I'm probably going to list a lot of gripes that I have. And I'm going to just kind of like dismiss them as like, well, it's an older game. It's got some antiquated setups. Obviously, like the saving is one of them. It's a stupid save system. I hate it because you have to remember to save it. The auto save is not always going to get you at the perfect time. But one of the things that kind of stuck out to me as kind of obnoxious is the missions. It does not label what is a progression of the story and what is a side mission.
That was Liz's complaint.
So I'm just kind of doing ones that kind of sound interesting. So as far as it goes for the story, the furthest that I've gotten is because I'm assuming this is main storyline because it follows that, I've already rescued Valentine,
yep, the detective. That's main.
Yeah, and then he's in the process of going and investigating with me. But I've already done some Brotherhood of Steel, so I've done a whole bunch of those. That was a whole other thing that I got stuck on. I did not want to join the Brotherhood of Steel because I didn't want to be locked down to them. But apparently you have to do it to continue the mission quest. It was very confusing. So I couldn't complete that mission because I kept just telling him, no, no, I won't. No, I won't. I'm a man of principle. So I'm not just going to accept it if I'm not really going to be committed to it. But like things like that, like the mission sequences, it was just like, because they kept piling up. Every time I went into my mission thing, there'd be like five more missions sitting there. I'm like, where are these coming from?
Yeah.
How am I getting all of these?
Yeah, you listen to the radio, there's a mission.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, you just went out of that area and it drops the radio thing. So it's like, oh, do I go back? Like,
yeah.
Which is, at the end of the day, right? Like, as much as that's annoying, what saves it is nothing wasn't uninteresting. Like,
yeah.
Every time I was doing something, I was always kind of excited to see what it eventually led to and what it did. So I still had that draw and appeal to keep going. And I think that is, okay, that's where it's kind of special. I don't know what's a story mission. I don't know what's a side mission. I'll just do all of these things and it's totally cool. I'm happy to do them. So I don't think I got very far in the story because I've just been doing a bunch of side stuff this whole time. And because it's just, they keep loading up new things. I don't know what is a story mission. So I'm just doing them all.
Which is,
Andrew, when I was playing, because you watched me play a little bit.
Yeah.
And you were like, made it sound like, doy, if it's about your son, like, you're supposed to do that as the main mission. I'm like, how am I supposed to know, like, that I have to go to Diamond City? And it's not even at the top of my list. There's no star next to it. But you made it sound like, oh, you should know that. I also like that Keith just wrote in, they did their research on the location. Candlepin bowling is exclusively a New England thing.
Yeah, they have candlepin posters. But Curtis in our Discord asked, who played first person, who played third person? I always did first person. Any Bethesda game, I never do third. Yeah, camera. That's when the camera's behind your character, Liz.
I just wanted to make sure.
I like you quietly like whispered to me so it wasn't the audio, like, and I made sure to call you out.
You called her out anyway. You're like, no. We're going to make sure everyone knows you don't know what first and third person is.
I knew it. I just wanted to make sure. But it also, like, I miss candlepin bowling.
Yeah, no, that it's the only thing that I could I can actually hold one of those bowling balls. I cannot hold a normal bowling ball.
Big balls are scary.
Well, yeah. Aaron has like freakishly small hands.
I do. Anybody on here can see very, very tiny hands. I don't. It's basically a deformity at this point. So cannot use regular bowling balls all that comfortably.
Yeah, I remember that episode, was it? I forget what show it was, but somebody's fingers swell and they couldn't get it off. My fingers swell like sausages in the summer.
I think I get a reference Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the lawyer with the small hands. And he's sort of self-conscious of it.
Puts the fake ones. Put your hands on top of mine. Yeah.
Where does your palm stop and your fingers start?
All right. I mean, I've got my 10-year-old daughter's hands are very close to the size of my hands. I am 37 years old, and her hands are almost as big as mine. That's a rough feeling. As a side note, we went to a football game. I took my 6-year-old to a football game, and this was a semi-professional football game. And nothing is more demoralizing than a grown man throwing you a football, you grabbing it and realizing you can't hold it with one hand. It is too large. I thought I could, because anytime Mason has a football, I'm throwing it, but I'm realizing now those are children's footballs. Those are not regular sized footballs. So I'm like sitting there, he throws it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is so, like I'm like trying to like, yeah, I can get it. It's rough. It's rough. I got whopper hands over here.
That's awesome.
I can't, I don't play basketball, but whenever I did when I was younger, I have like no upper body strength, and I'd always have to do it with two hands, but I wouldn't do it the right way because I didn't have enough strength. So I just.
By the way, with the question with Fallout 4, which is kind of funny to think about, is that you're constantly, you wake up and you're just like, where's my son? Where's my son? But then here you guys are, like you're talking about, of like, it's kind of mandatory to like get lost and do these side quests. We're like, where's my son? You're like, ooh, what's these trinkets over here? And your character kind of like just starts doing things. Hey, do you want to join the Brotherhood of Steel? You're just like, okay, like not worrying about my son anymore.
Well, this is,
how long does it take for you to start romancing? Because, like, you just woke up. Like, you, in your mind, you just
I was going to bring that up, too.
So, how long, because I read online that you can romance.
Yeah, pretty early. Pretty early. So, in theory, according to your character, your significant other's been dead for days, a couple of days, and you're like, ooh, others,
it's time to move
companions.
On. Yeah. It's time to move on.
The movie, I think it might have been like Hard to Kill or something with Steven Seagal, and he was in a coma and he woke up and his, I don't know if his kid was murdered too, but I know his wife was murdered, and then he ends up falling for someone. And I remember as a child watching this and being like, wait, he just woke up.
Yeah.
Time to move on.
Like, in reality, yes, your significant other's been dead for a while, but in your mind, they've been dead for days.
See that?
No, I can't. I don't think I've ever seen a Steven Seagal movie.
I was obsessed with I was obsessed with like Chuck Norris movies.
See,
and stuff.
I feel like you either like Steven Seagal or Chuck Norris. You were dipping your toes in both ponds.
No, because Steven Seagal, I think I watched that first because I watched it when I was like super young, but. All that stuff came out about him, you know. But yeah. Chuck Norris has been my number one, always.
Love for life.
Yeah,
I follow him on social media.
But yeah, I like the story. I agree with you, Aaron, with every one of these side quests is just interesting. A lot of them are just like, I want to know what goes on, what's going to keep happening, which is surprising. There is things about this game that do feel very old, where everything just feels like so set up in like a set piece. But at least all the stories and characters are well written. Like, anytime people are giving me stories of like, hey, this is going on, I'm like, cool, I want to see where this goes. What's going on here? And I just love your character's reaction too. It's just like, once again, your character literally just woke up from pre-war. They're completely new to this Fallout area. And these people in giant power armor are like, hey, we're the Brotherhood of Steel. You have no idea who these people are. And you're like, I know, I think I did. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time of saying Brotherhood of Steel. But
Brotherhood.
But you have no idea who these people are. And they're like, do you want to join? You're like, heck yeah, okay. As far as you know, they could be like straight up Nazis. They could be like, oh yeah, you know, we ate babies in the afternoon. You have no idea. But your character's like, all right, I'm on board. Let's join the Brotherhood of Stool.
Yeah, there's a you do have to suspend
disbelief,
some disbelief there to kind of get through that, because yes, none of that stuff I guess makes any real sense.
This is cracking up here. Your face, because
you're saying Brotherhood of Stool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty embarrassing.
You just restarted the laughing.
She's kind of got to give it back to you after you called her out for not knowing what first person was. So.
I didn't know.
I just tongue-tied. I know who the Brotherhood of Steel are. You gotta get closer. Oh, dear. Keep going, Aaron. Liz is going to be laughing for a while.
All right. So yeah, story-wise, I guess I don't want to know much more beyond that. Obviously, Andrew, you've beaten this game at some point.
Yeah.
So I know you probably know the answers to things, because I've got some mysteries going on that I'm trying to figure out. Like, I want to know, is Vault-Tec and the Institute related, or are they completely separate things?
They're separate things.
I told you not to ruin it for me, and you just ruined it for me. Thank you for taking away that mystery.
Yeah. But I mean, did you guys kind of see the trend or what's going on with the vaults? Did you explore enough of them?
I only went into that one when you fight the mafia guys.
Okay.
Save Valentine. But what's weird is, like, Fallout is one of those things that, like, for guys that have been playing video games, even if you didn't play Fallout, you at least kind of knew things about it. So I already knew the mysteries of all the vaults. Like, I already kind of understood that. I also did play a little bit of Fallout 76, so I also kind of understood it from that perspective too. So no, I haven't explored a bunch of other vaults, but I know how they work.
Do you?
Yeah, they're all different experiments.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right, so you do. Oh, then that's the other thing, real quick. Did you actually watch the TV show that just came out?
I have not. This is why I actually started playing the game. So even before you said you guys were going to do this episode, I was like, you know what? I should probably know a little bit about Fallout, like, before watching the show. So I decided to just start playing Fallout 4.
No. But to answer guys your question, or not question, but you guys were curious about having to join the Brotherhood of Steel. I said it right this time, Liz. And there's other factions. You aren't tied down to any of them. You are essentially free to do all of them. It's just at the very end, you have to commit. And it's pretty obvious you have to commit to somebody. So don't worry about any sort of consequences that, oh, I joined this group, so now I can't do anything with this group. You can just kind of have fun, and it's not till the end where you have to make a decision.
Well, reading online,
in your opinion, Andrew, which one of the four factions has the coolest ending?
I think I know of the Brotherhood of Steel's one, but from what I remember, I've only beaten this game once, and I'm pretty sure I sided with the Institute.
Interesting.
Why?
I know.
They're the bad guys.
Yeah, well, there's more too.
See, online it made it seem like it was black and white. Who you kind join of join and like who the bad guys are.
I mean, I think like the obvious good ones are the Underground Railroad. They're kind of like trying to create equality for everyone.
Sorry, I just read.
Oh.
You should say Vault number 2 is where the Brotherhood of Steel lives, but
missed opportunity.
But yeah, so overall, the story is pretty good. But getting into the gameplay, so we already talked a little bit about the base building, in which the base building, to me, it felt like an experiment. It felt like they were testing out this new mechanic of, hey, you can get random people to join a settlement. But what irritates me, to get a little bit more into, like, eventually we'll get into the graphics, everything just looks like a dump. So when I feel like I'm building a nice base, I'm like, this literally looks like a child made it. It's just like ranshackled and crappy. And that always just kind of irritated me. And that's why I was like, yeah, I don't like this base building because my base looks like garbage. I know they have DLC for it to make like some other nice looking things, but I was just like, meh. But I love the combat in this game and just how the story's done. Most people either like Skyrim or they liked Fallout, but I guess now you have Starfield. But I've always been a Fallout guy. You know, Skyrim's swords and magic and arrows. I more like sci-fi. I always loved the guns. And one thing I love about Fallout 4, I love the gun designs, which obviously you can kind of see are more designed, like more worked upon in Starfield. But I love modding my guns and like the different styles, from ballistic to explosive to plasma to energy. I think the gun variety is a lot of fun.
I don't think I switched it up enough. Like I said, I was struggling to get certain things for the mods, but I feel like at the point I'm at now, I didn't really find anything too exciting. But I also decided at the beginning, I don't know why, but the roaches were really annoying and I'm just going to punch them every time. I don't use a gun.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's easier watching to
kill them then.
You had a pistol and you literally kept swinging and hitting them. Like, Liz, you know it's a gun, right? You can shoot them. You literally just kept bashing them.
It's easier to hit them. One, it's a one-hit kill. The big mosquitoes take multiple hits if you punch
them. Yeah.
But no matter what, they always like snuck up on me because I've kept forgetting that like if the dog is barking, that means, you know, if it says like it's a growl or aggressive or something, yeah, there's like a bad guy near around. But so for me, that's what they would always sneak up on me and I would just punch them. That was my combat.
Yeah. Style. So going back again to a previous episode I was on, I know I had mentioned this a little bit earlier. This is a callback. I obviously really love the Battlefield series. I play a lot of the Battlefield series and it's great. This was another frustration that I had with this game is the actual fighting, the actual aiming and shooting of a gun is so frustrating in this game. I do not know how to describe it. And again, it might be a sign of the times because I feel like it's a little bit better in Starfield than it was here. But there's a weird sensation where it feels like your gun is floating. Like it lacks weight. I don't know how else to describe this. And I think it's because modern day shooters, they've mastered how to make a gun feel good when you're aiming it and pulling the trigger. Talk about the sinking roaches at the beginning. I did realize that I didn't need to melee those things. I probably wasted 17 clips just trying to shoot one bug because it's jumping and you're so slow and your gun is just, it's awful. It's awful. I will admit, the further you play it, the easier you get used to it. Like, I'm now a little bit more used to it than when I first started out. But the gunplay was horrendous.
Well, any gun's iron sights, I notice, are awful. Like, there's never been a gun, if it has iron sights, I have such a hard time aiming.
Yeah, even when you get that first laser musket, I swear I am, like, aiming at someone's head. And it's a laser, so it's not like a bullet drop or anything. And it's just no hit mark or anything. I had instances where I'm shooting a guy and he's standing in front of a stone fence that has big lattices. I could literally see him there. I am shooting him and nothing's happening. Like there's clearly an invisible wall there. Like they intended the wall to not have these lattices or something. There were so many moments like that that were driving me absolutely batty. And again, I don't say all this to say it's a bad game. It is a definite game. It is a great game. I totally understand why people love it. I would not say the combat was a reason that I would say like, oh yeah, they need to do more combat like that. It felt rough and it still kind of feels a little rough.
I agree. I also think too, with the Andrew kind of helped me out with the ability tree. Is that what you should call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
the perks.
First of all, he made fun of me because at the beginning, you put points into things and I did like just 4 for each because I didn't really know what was good. I actually went with Andrew with, it was charisma, right? And luck. Yep. Those were the two that I was leaning towards. But having never played any of the games before, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to make it simple and do it that way. But there were some that really helped with combat that you could level up to.
Yeah. Which I kind of wanted to do. Aaron, I forgot to mention this for you. So the stats, the special, as they're called, I thought it'd be kind of fun. What would you guys give yourself for points in the special? So,
well, it's not strength.
So, yeah, if you were in Fallout. So S, special, what would you give yourself for strength out of 10?
For strength?
Yeah.
I do know it's hard because I do feel like my legs are kind of strong, but my upper body is useless. I think of myself a 2.
A 2?
A 10?
Man, I guess I'd say I'm
did
a
you
4.
Not just hear, did you not just hear her story about the basketball? She can't throw a basketball. Yeah, she's probably a 2.
I think I'm probably a 4. I'm probably like just below average because my back sucks, but I'd give myself a 4.
See, I don't see that as average. I see like a 7... 8 as average.
Okay.
Well, 5 is an average.
I would say 5 because it's out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what's your point of reference, though? Like, are we talking, like, bodybuilders number 10?
I guess.
Because that's pretty extreme for a normal person, though. We talk about normal people. Because a bodybuilder isn't a normal person. I'm thinking of like an average normal person, 1 through 10. But if you're talking like a baby is a number one and a bodybuilder is a number 10.
Yeah, I'd probably say that. Baby one, bodybuilder 10. So you're just above a baby.
Andrew, yeah, but you're not that far. You're 4.
This segment has already gone way off the rails. And this is the first thing.
I know. What about you, Aaron?
I don't know. Now that we're talking about bodybuilders, I'm probably like a 3.
So I'm the strongest out of all of us, Aaron.
Clearly.
But yeah, the audio. Aaron, how much of the radio did you listen to?
Not too much. I probably pulled up the radio like 3 or 4 times.
I like the radio. I love
it. They have real bands though, right? Because like I thought at one point I was listening to Dion and the Belmonts.
Oh, I have no idea. I always thought this was original soundtrack and they just had like sounding bands. Because I never heard of a song called Uranium Fever.
Yeah, that does sound fake.
The Wanderer, yeah. The Wanderer played on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the original singer, too.
So they must have had some original soundtracks and then some...
Oh, I don't know if this is true, but it says that Dion sues Fallout 4 developers for wrongful use of The Wanderer.
Oh.
Looks like I don't know if it's true, but they might not have gotten permission for that.
But then again, songs have a copyright, like, age, don't they?
We've seen games get removed from the store.
Yeah, for licensings.
Yeah. What was the Spec Ops The Line?
Oh yeah,
that game ruled.
That game is so good.
That one got removed because they used licensed music in there, and then eventually that deal runs up. So you actually run the risk on using licensed music in your game that they have to remove it once that licensed music runs out.
Man, I forgot that was a reason. That's crazy. That's such a good game.
Yeah, he's still alive. So yeah, he...
Oh.
Yeah, so maybe because it's so old, they thought that... I mean, he's only 84, though. I mean, that's not like...
Yeah, speaking of audio, so no, I didn't spend a whole lot of time with the radio. I don't want to just point out complaints, so I'll do not a full compliment sandwich, but a half compliment sandwich. One thing that is awesome, I love that everything's voice acted in this game. The fact that everybody's got a unique personality and the voices come through there. That's a combination of probably good voice acting and good writing. That all works and that stuff is great. One thing that does drive me nuts is the kind of spatial audio sucks.
Yeah.
When you're sometimes you end up going open face compliment sandwich, great call, Keith, from the grave. So when you go into a building and there's like multiple people in there and there's always like one more guy left and it's like I hear him like yelling behind me and I'm like just scanning all over the place. Like, where the heck is this person? And I'm going up staircases and I'm looking and the guy's just like, hi, you. And I'm just like, where are you? And I'm just going into rooms and I can hear him all around me. And I'm like, the spatial audio in this is a disaster because it's just not super precise on where this person is. This might potentially be a little bit of my fault. I have not been playing this with headphones. So, but I can still kind of tell directionally where they are. It does at least a decent job of kind of giving me those context clues, but it's not great. There's, I think, games that do a lot better of a job of kind of giving you a very precise location on where that person is. So the audio is a mixed bag.
I think what you're saying is accurate because a good amount of times, you know, the first companion you get is Dog Meat, RIP. Yeah. The dog that did the body capture recently died. But
thanks for sharing that sad
news. Yeah, little fun fact. But there was a couple times where he finds something. It says Dog Meat found something and he's barking. And I'm like, I don't know where he is. I just hear bark, bark. And I'm like, what do you see? What, like, I don't even know what you found. It just says Dog Meat found something. Does that mean he found trash? Did he find an enemy? Like, what's something?
What so that always annoyed me. That when the stuff that you've selected that has like the magnifying glass, I've noticed like he finds stuff for that.
Wow. See, I never searched for components.
Or if he's growling a bad guy, but yeah. A lot of times I wouldn't need it anymore. Like I found it a while ago and I forgot to turn it off, but I noticed it was always stuff with the magnifying glass.
But yeah, I hate to say it, but Dog Meat, I think, is the worst companion.
He sucks.
He does.
He sucks. He, like, when you're, like, in fights, he's just kind of an idiot. Who just like
dies right away.
And then just immediately dies. Just yeah. Like, come on, Dog Meat. Like, what's your problem? It's the other, I don't know if this happened the other day. Maybe this happened this morning when I was playing. But he found something. So he's like barking. And he goes into this garage. And I go into this garage. And I probably spent 15 minutes in this garage trying to figure out what this dang dog was looking at. I never found anything. So I'm like, what is Dog Meat barking at? But I'm like, he must have found something good. I didn't find anything in there. So I'm like, oh, thanks a lot, Dog Meat. Also, this is kind of another thing that I know I'm going to just keep dumping on this game. It's crazy to me how much, like, how they carried some elements, or not some, a lot of elements from Fallout into Starfield.
Yeah.
One of the things that bother me about Starfield, so I'm doing this in reverse, where most of you guys played Bethesda games for years. I was too busy playing Call of Duty, so I just never touched these types of games. I'm working in reverse. I started from Starfield, and now I'm kind of working backwards a little bit. But why the heck do they maintain this itemizations system, whatever it is? It is a nightmare going through all of your items. Not only that, I don't know what's valuable. Like, yeah. I have no clue what is worth picking up and what is not. So I'm like, I'm constantly seeing stuff. There's still just millions of things to pick up. Same thing at Starfield.
Yeah,
there's
toys, trinkets, globes, just magnifying glass, glue, like just everything.
And I want to know what actually has, like, hey, no, this is a component. Like, tell me it's a component. Like, something, you might want this when you're going to go fix up your gun or when you're going to want to fix up your armor. Like, let me know, or this is just junk to sell. Like, I don't know. Give me a little bit of context here, because that whole loot system, you end up kind of walking in. All I'm honestly looking for are maybe some weapons and some stim packs. Like, give me as many stim packs as possible. Outside of that, I don't care about anything else in this dang game. There's just too many items. And it's crazy to me that they still have that same system in Starfield.
Yeah. See, for me, what confused me, I remember I hated it first at Starfield, that everything, all the items are just text. So I don't know what it is. Like in Starfield, it's all sci-fi. So something's like, oh, blip blorp. And I'm like, what's that? I don't know what that is. Is that food? And it was super confusing. But I never thought about, I forgot that Fallout was also the same way, where it's just text. But I didn't have the issue. I mean, granted, the things you're seeing are adhesive, toy car, like they are things I know because they exist in my world. But in Starfield, like I said, they're just sci-fi things, and I'm like, what is this? But I agree. I don't know if you noticed, I taught Liz this pretty early, but when you're crafting a gun on a mod, it says, oh, like you need screws, wood, blah blah blah. You can say look for these items, and it puts a magnifying glass, so when you're out in the world and you find toy car, it'll say, hey, this has components that you're looking for the mod that you wanted to make. So that's how you can kind of go and do that.
What do you do with the toy car then?
So you bring it back to, you can, workbenches are also storage containers. So you can just deposit the toy car in the workbench. So then it counts towards you having screws or wood or whatever the component you needed.
What?
See, that confused me because I was trying to figure out how to break them down.
It does automatically.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It is confusing. It just, it doesn't explain these things to you. It is, the tutorial is so crazy quick. It is just play in this world and kind of figure how things work out.
Because
in some sense, I like that. In some sense, like, it's kind of cool to kind of, like, figure it out as you go along. But in another, I was going to go on forever and never know this. I was like, I've never seen these screws that these things need. And I had no clue that that was even an option. I always thought the toy car was essentially just junk that I could go sell for some caps. Well, I thought that was the whole purpose of it.
So if you look at an item, you know, when you open a chest, you could also hit X to transfer. And that opens a more complex menu, and it'll actually show a hologram of what the item looks like. And then it'll actually list, this item contains these components. So if you get like super glue is worth 3 adhesives. Or if you get economy is worth 2 adhesives. So it shows you these things.
See, I just assumed that if I had the stuff to make it, that I just randomly picked it up somewhere. Because, yeah, I just, if there's ever a magnifying glass, I picked it up. That was just kind of like my rule of thumb. I was like, yeah, I must have something I need in it. So I understood that, like, it was going to give me what I needed, but I just didn't understand that I wasn't supposed to break it down myself.
But then also early in the game, too, you can find the junk jet, which is a gun that shoots junk. So you literally can pick up all the toy cars and everything like that and shoot it as bullets.
I never saw that.
Oh, and then also another fun pro tip I saw with dog meat. The one nice thing about dog meat, when you start in your vault in Vault 111. Yeah, it was in that one. At the very end, when you get the overseer's office, he is creating a special gun called the Cryolator, and it's locked behind a super master lock. You can actually click on your dog and tell your dog to go fetch the Cryolator, and dog meat will actually go through the lock and just grab the gun for you. So if you want to get the Cryolator super early in the game, just tell dog meat to go fetch it. Yeah, there's a little fun note. Pretty decent. I think it has very limited ammo. I think it uses a specialty ammo from what I remember. I can't remember if it's that gun. I know there's an alien gun. You find a crashed alien ship and a living alien who's bad. You kill him and you get an alien blaster that only has like 200 bullets and there's no more bullets in the game.
So that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I love the guns in this game. There's some really fun guns and like interesting guns. Like Fallout 3, I liked. But I that was my issue. I didn't like the guns in Fallout 3. In New Vegas, I liked the guns. And I thought the story in Vegas is better. But yeah, Fallout 4 is kind of a nice encapsulating of everything. But that's what I think is weird. Really, our listeners saying like, oh, Fallout 4 is the most accessible. There's moments like this when we're talking about the junk where I'm like, is this accessible? Like, I guess it is just the fun of the exploration and living in this world. The game does such a good job with it.
It's probably the perfect version of Fallout. So, like, for instance, if you're watching, because what's going to happen for everybody is the gold standard is going to be the show.
Yeah.
The show's going to be the gold standard. It's going to be the thing that introduces so many people to Fallout is going to be that show. And to me, Fallout 4 is probably the best encapsulation of that. So I think that that ends up being the game that's going to be the connecting point there is that one.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
But with playing this game also just got the next gen update, which gives 60 frames, I think 4K. Yeah, you could do 4K quality mode. So 4K 30 frames or performance 1080p with 60 frames. Did you notice graphically, Aaron? Like, how long have you been playing this?
So I have not been playing on an Xbox. I've been playing actually on my PC. So I've been using an Xbox controller playing it, but I downloaded it on PC Game Pass, and I've been playing it that way. Now, did you read some of the complaints about this mode?
Yep. That's super buggy, so, which is very per Bethesda.
It doesn't matter which one you pick on Xbox, it's broken.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which mode you pick, it's the same exact thing.
I think they fixed it.
Well, I think it's funny because like, I recorded, there's one time I was in one of the buildings, and it looks like one of the women is just like skipping into the wall over and over again. But I feel like my game was actually quite buggy.
Mine started to crash, I feel like, ever since the update happened.
You said that mine crashing a lot was probably just my Xbox.
I thought so, but then I was playing on xCloud, and it was crashing on xCloud.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, nope, it's the game.
Because like I said earlier, when I lose progress, I'm just like, I'm done for now.
Yeah.
And it happened a lot.
Because that update went to PC as well, right?
Yep.
One of the things that I noticed recently, anytime I load into the main world, so if I go into just a building, it's a pretty quick load. If I load out into the main world, I'm waiting at least a minute and a half.
Whoa.
Like it's just straight up. And mind you, like my laptop, I'm running an i7, a brand new i7, and I'm running a 4070. So it's a good graphics card. It runs everything flawlessly. So there'd be no reason it should struggle with this. I have no clue why all of a sudden, anytime I go out into the world.
I was not getting those wait times on Xbox.
I know. I was like, I like lost my mind the other day because like I loaded in, I'm doing this thing, and I accidentally opened the door to go outside. And I was like, no, because I realized I was going to have to wait a minute and a half and then I'm going to have to turn around anyway. So I had a mini freak out.
I can't believe you gave this a definite game. I feel like you had an awful experience and everything about this game kind of was like hindering you.
Because here's the thing, is you can see its influences. Like, you can see why people would look at this and call this one of their favorite games of all time. Because it does feel deep. It does not feel like no one didn't care about it.
Yeah.
And you could imagine in an Xbox One era, this game coming out, for what feels, what are absolutely flaws today, would not be considered flaws back there. So I am trying to like look through a little bit of a lens there. But then at the same time, like, I'm still like, let's go on to the next mission. Let's go on to the next thing. What kind of mystery am I going to find over here? It's, you know, even talking to you, you're talking about, oh, I'm going to find some alien that's a bad. And then he gives me a cool gun. And it's like, those types of things are special. Because I think in a lot of RPGs, I'm used to playing ARPGs. Like, playing something like Diablo, where those quests don't feel interesting. They don't feel all that unique. I don't feel like I'm going to go to this level and who knows what kind of surprises I'm going to find. I know it's there. But this, it's a very much unique kind of feel. And so I can totally understand why this is a special game to people. So, and for all of its flaws and the issues that I've had with it so far, I still want to play more.
Yeah.
I'm still having fun with it, with all of those complaints. That's where I'm always going to be critical. That's the whole point of this thing, is to kind of pick on the things you love and hate. So there are elements of it that aren't great, but it's still, it's an awesome game.
Well, one thing I think is kind of funny, graphically, so this game takes place in Boston. And to me, what's funny is how much woods the developer thinks there are in Boston. it's funny that you have Boston, but like all the surrounding areas, like woodsy, kind of outdoorsy, no buildings, very open. Heck, you start in a suburb. It's like, what suburbs are there near Boston?
And they do not look like that.
They do not look like that. They are not nice one-story white picket fence houses.
Yeah. In fairness, you go into the vault in the 1950s. So, you know, it could have been more woods back then. You weren't alive. You don't know that.
No, it's not 1950s. It's in the future. It's still in the future, but it's trapped. It's encapsulated. It's year 2000 and like 120 or something like that.
So maybe that's something that I was missing. I always thought what was happening is you're like in an alternate universe.
You are.
Of the 1950s. You go into the vault. Like, it's like a sci-fi version of the 1950s. You go into the vault. So it's a mix of future and past.
2077 is when the bombs dropped. So that's where...
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's when the game takes place. Because that's what they said, the opening cinematic, which, by the way, I love this opening cinematic. It's really cool. Of War Never Changes. But yeah, they talk about how it's the future and everything's kind of atomic. But yeah, that's what I love. It's like this weird 50s style atomic punk, I think is what they describe it as.
Interesting. I guess I didn't pick that up on the intro. So I was not really completely sure when the time frame takes place, but that makes a whole lot more sense.
But one thing I don't like about the graphics, I do not like this game's color palette.
Yeah, it's brown, gray.
Whole lot of browns.
And more brown.
Some of the faces are a little weird too, graphically. Not to be mean, but...
No, they are a little weird.
It makes sense. So I don't sit there and be like, no, they really needed color here in this wasteland. But yeah, at the same time, it would be nice to get a little bit of color somewhere.
Well, I also, because of the toxic stuff, when I radiation. First was... What?
Radiation?
Yeah, whatever. When I first started building, there was this like green line, but it happened right when it turned to nighttime. And so for me, I was confused where I was like, because when it rains and stuff, you can get radiation. So for me, which I never like filled my radiation thing with the medicine, because
Liz was like half radiation sickness.
But I thought that the green line, I thought that it was some type of new radiation or something, because it happened right at nighttime. But yeah, it was just the building line. So yeah, my bad.
But yeah, so graphically, this game's color palette is not great, but I love the weapon designs. I love the armor designs, character designs. The ghouls look really cool. I love just the, it does this game just at least graphically does such a good job depicting the world. But I do love that, you know, this takes place in Boston, but it doesn't use any actual names besides towns. You know, you hear Quincy of Cambridge, you know, of Everett and like all these other different areas in the surrounding area. But like, yeah, you don't you know, Diamond City is in, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a stinking blank. Fenway Park. There we go. I don't know why I kept wanting to say Faneuil. But yeah, it's at Fenway, but they never call it Fenway. You know, they do have Massachusetts General Hospital, but it's called like Memorial Hospital. So they have to do like different names for things. But I love that. Like they have some things in Boston, but I think it's weird. Like if you saw the skyline of this game, like you would never be like, oh yeah, this is Boston. But I love they did do a good job using the town, like using the Freedom Trail, that whole side quest with that. Well, actually, it's a main quest.
It is a main quest?
To do the Freedom Trail?
I didn't know where I got that quest.
You overheard somebody. You heard citizens talking about that if you followed the Freedom Trail, that there's a group. That's where you meet the Underground Railroad group.
Interesting. Didn't know that.
Yeah. But yeah, there is a bunch of DLC for this game. I was tempted to buy it. The one I always wanted to play is Far Harbor, which takes place in Maine's Bar Harbor, which, fun fact, that actually was a place I was going to propose to you, Liz. Was Bar Harbor. Oh, yeah. But I was like, I kind of want to invite
instead
you.
Instead, you chose a Chili's.
No, I chose Mount Major. Chose a Chili's. So we went to McDonald's.
Have I said that story on here?
I think so.
Where, yeah, because like you and Melissa were like whispering up there, and I was like, he's either going to propose or they're pushing me off. I was like, there's those two getting along, whispering to each other. I knew
the
something
only reason
was
that would
up.
Happen.
A proposal or death.
Well, that's why I didn't do Bar Harbor, because I was like, oh, I kind of wanted your sister to be there to take pictures, and you know, Bar Harbor is kind of a really nice romantic getaway, and I was like, I don't really want to put your sister to that. So.
Well, I'm just saying, you know what's not like what would be truly surprising? Bringing out a sizzling plate of fajitas, and then you come down and see the Chili's. Actually, if you think about it. A big sizzling plate of fajitas. You're like, oh my gosh, can it get any better? Boom, ring. Yes, it can get better,
no,
or
I mean,
maybe worse.
I mean,
I don't know.
Cajun chicken pasta.
Cajun chicken. Yeah, Aaron, you're joking.
That one's awesome.
But Liz legitimately probably would have loved if I did it at Chili's.
It's my family's like favorite place. I also think it's funny too. Like another big hint was that my sister, I was so hungover that morning. My sister's like, why don't you do your makeup? Why don't you do something with your
We're going
hair?
Hiking and on I'm a mountain.
Like, and I was like, I feel like I'm dying. And then Andrew's physically pushing me up the mountain because I'm like, you know, I think I'm just going to go back down and wait for you guys. And he's like, oh, man.
Should have done Chili's.
Vomiting all over the place on the way up there.
She would have enjoyed Chili's.
Yeah.
Which, ironically, it's also our anniversary tomorrow. So happy anniversary, Liz.
Oh, hey, yeah, tomorrow. It is that time, huh?
No, it's today.
It's the third.
You keep saying that. Look at your ring.
My ring has the wrong date, Liz.
No, you put it the wrong month before. You got it fixed. It's May 2nd.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? I looked at our marriage license. Oh, because
my gosh.
My mom thought it was May the 4th. And I was like, no, that's a Star Wars day.
I know. No, I always remember it was Star Wars day. And I kept thinking, because in my mind, I'm like, it's the day before. We did it May 3rd. And you're like, no, it's May 2nd.
In all fairness, I didn't even realize it was May. And if you didn't bring up that our anniversary.
Yeah, I actually brought up our anniversary. Because I was like, oh, do you want to do this? And Liz is like, oh, yeah, it's our anniversary.
We have two anniversaries because like our actual ceremony and our celebration was in July. And we've never really celebrated in May.
We do sometimes.
But
that's the thing.
Hold
it's like
on. That's why we went out to dinner tonight.
Yeah.
We went out to dinner tonight.
Well, we originally did because I was supposed to work tomorrow.
So
you
it wasn't
didn't
even
tell
for
me that. I thought we went out for our anniversary dinner tonight.
Did you guys go to Chili's?
No, we went to Red Robin's.
Red Robin's a good one.
Yeah.
No Cajun pasta there, though.
No.
Your Piper really likes it there. So that's another reason why we're like, well, we'll bring her to Red Robin's.
And also, Liz is very pregnant, so she's very selective of what she can and cannot eat.
That's fair. True. That's fair.
True. But anywho's. Let's get to our final thoughts here. We've been dragging this episode on.
Just very quickly, achievements.
Oh, yeah, achievements.
Aaron, you got 85 out of 1,600 gamer score with 8 out of 84 achievements. Andrew, overachiever, 840 with 43 achievements. Keith, 105 with 9 achievements, and I'm in last, 65 with 6 achievements.
Yeah, overall, this is a pretty good game for achievement hunters. Majority of the achievements are just beating specific quests. This game, obviously, it's an RPG. It's going to take you time. For time to beat main story, you're probably looking between 3 to 33 hours. For main quest and side, you're looking at about 111 hours. So it's not a quick game for achievements, but you can get a majority of the achievements just by doing all these side quests. A lot of achievements to get. Nothing too difficult. Like I said, at the end, though, you have to commit to a certain faction. Just save your game there. Beat with that faction. There's an achievement. Load your save and just beat with the other ones. So overall, it's not hard to get the achievements in this game. But yeah, let's get into our final thoughts here. Aaron, since you were so negative, why don't you start off? Did you like this game? Thoughts.
No, this is a great game. I had a ton of fun with it so far. I will definitely continue to play it. Now I'm very excited to see the show. I know, what was the numbers for it? They say 16 million people that saw the show in the first 6 days or something like that.
It's either the first or second most watched Amazon Prime show, they said, within the first 2 weeks.
A gargantuan hit right now. So we'll obviously continue to see. They've already announced a season 2 for that. Obviously, they're working on Skyrim, but they're going to end up making more Fallout games. It's just going to happen at this point. So I'm kind of hooked. And I think once I finish this, I'm going to want to check out New Vegas because everybody swears New Vegas is the best. So
it has Matthew Perry in it.
For all of its flaws and for some of the clunkiness of the engine and all of that stuff, it is still well worth playing. I give it a score here, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to give it. You guys do it out of 100?
Yeah.
Yeah, usually.
I always forget if you guys do
it. I mean, if you do it by 10, you're still the same.
I'm going to give it a 91.
Man, very similar to me. I love Fallout 4. Like I said, the Fallout series is my favorite. This one I did enjoy a lot. I remember, Liz, you actually got this for me as a present for my birthday when we were dating. I know you don't remember it, but I remember it because I was like, yes, I wanted this game. And I played a whole bunch of it and ignored you. You're like, I don't remember. That's usual too. But yes, Fallout, it's a ton of fun. You know, if you're not into, no, I think even if you're not really crazy into RPGs, I think the fighting's a lot of fun. The exploration, this game constantly just gives you good breadcrumb trails of just, let's go over this ridge and see what's going on in here. And I forgot how much I missed it when I played Starfield. Like in Starfield, it's very much just kind of teleporting to areas, and it's not as organic to explore as this is. Everything is just over the ridge. There's this new thing going on. You're hearing a battle in the distance. You're finding new guns. There's just cool things to just uncover. Some of the things in this game does show its age. It was a little awkward when like people are talking in the world and the camera, you go to like interact with people. The camera kind of freak out. Like there's definitely some dialogue things that just feel its age. But overall, this game's just a ton of fun. If you haven't checked out Fallout 4, you can't go wrong with. Like I said, I'd recommend New Vegas probably. But yeah, I'm giving it a 90.
I am going to give it an 87. I feel like maybe the more I play it, maybe I'll give it a couple more points later on. But right now, like I didn't feel like a deep love for this game, you know, that I thought I was going to. I think maybe that's why I've been like a bit more negative with the game. But right now, I still really like it. I enjoy it. I think you guys made some great positive points about it. And I agreed with your negative points as well. And looking at Metacritic was not working for me. I did see that for Xbox One, 88 and 6.8.
You've been having issues with Metacritic recently.
Ever since they changed their format. Yeah.
Get it together, Metacritic. All right. Anyway, that'll do us for this episode. Thank you all so much for joining us. Please go to our Linktree at linktree.com/GBGB or gamepassgrabbag.com. Should bring you there. Join our Discord. Me and Keith are on there a lot. We interact with everyone. We love talking to everyone on there. If you have any game suggestions, you can email us at gamepassgrabbag@gmail.com. Check out our Patreon. Next week or soon, we should be dropping another episode. So thank you all so much to our Patreon members. Thank you so much to Javier. Thank you to Javier. Thank you to Squidkel. And thank you to our new Patreon member, Papa PTSD, for supporting us. You guys are getting us one step closer to make this our full-time job. We still have a ways to go. But thank you all so much. We love, thank you for all the support you guys keep showing us. You know, there's no, I don't know how we keep getting support. I feel like we do such an awful job at this. But you guys still keep showing us your love, and we love it. But yeah, you can find me on Xbox Live Firebird 01091952. I think I just said that wrong. Anyway,
no,
Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. I don't know if you want anything.
Happy to help. I know it's kind of, I was fortunately playing this game, and because that is usually not the case. I'm usually sticking to my same three game rotation. So you got lucky this time. I was actually playing this one. So
unless people don't like you, and then I guess it's unlucky of them.
That's true. If you don't like hearing me on this thing, I'm sorry. All I can do is apologize. I'm sorry.
Nicer than me. I'm not apologizing. People don't like me. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. I'm sorry.
But I apologize.
I'm listening. You know, sometimes people just rub you the wrong way. You know, it's kind of, I would feel bad if someone listened to me and they were just like, wow, she's really grating on my nerves. It's like, I don't
man,
want
you're going on the attack right now.
I feel like they would listen to us then.
Well, maybe they love you guys. I'm just saying, hypothetically, I would feel bad if you. Everyone has that person that they've met that they're just like, I really genuinely do not want to be around this person.
That's true.
So for me, I'm just saying, like, I do feel bad if I annoy people. I don't know. Now I feel weird about it. I don't know. We'll just get rid of this whole segment.
No, this is entertaining.
No, that's Stan.
I'm Liz the Noob, Gamertag, Common Nom Dean. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, at Liz the Noob,
ACW. All right, everyone. We love you all. We'll see you again next week.